Good evening.
Blog
Good evening.
Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to this edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your guest host today. Of course, Religion Means Alive is the creation of Imam Alfred Muhammad. And I am your guest host, as I have been the guest host here on Blog Talk Radio, Religion Means Alive, for the second Monday of the month. So, I would like to welcome all of you who are returning callers to the show, and I would like to welcome our new callers. This is a show created for the purpose of helping to keep our radio audience updated and informed of the various issues going on in the community, particularly as they relate to religion, interfaith religion, and my show. My focus is usually and will continue to be on religion, business, and technology. So, let me first begin by bringing attention to one critical issue of concern. I know it's a concern of many of the listeners, the regular listeners here on Blog Talk Radio, and that is the creator of the show, Imam Alfred Muhammad. For all of you who are regular listeners, you have been informed that Imam Alfred Muhammad had been diagnosed with a form of prostate cancer. And this is a fight, a difficult fight to fight, but he's up for the challenge of fighting the fight. But, of course, he needs some support and assistance from his radio audience. And for all those who understand the importance of such a fight. Now, if you'd like to help Imam Alfred in this fight, he could really use your prayers. That goes without saying. But he also could use your financial support. So, let me give you information where you can help support his fight. He has set up a fund at GoFundMe.com where you can log in, go to the site, log in with his name, the special name that he set up, and you can contribute to his fight regarding this prostate cancer. So the name of the fund is the Alfred's Prostate Cancer Fund. And this is how you get to it. Just type into your computer address line www.gofundme, that's GoFundMe.com, and then / Imam Alfred. That's IMAMALFRED. When you go there, you will get you will see information that our imam has placed there, informing you of the challenges that he is facing relative to this particular diagnosis, and how he's going to wage the fight, and how you can help him with your financial donations. You can donate there. And he has a goal that's set up. You'll see what the goal he has set up, and he has a certain amount of funds that have already been dedicated. But here you can see, and certainly would like you to, those who would like to help, can help them engage in this fight with your financial support. Now, there are some who may be not either familiar with the internet, we're not comfortable using the internet, and would just like to send a donation directly to the NAM efforts. And you may be able to do that too. And if that's more of your interest, here is the direct address where you can send NAM efforts your donation. It's Imam Alfred, that's A-L-F-R-E-D, Muhammad, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. The address is 817 Jackson Avenue, and that's Linder, L-I-N-D-E-R, New Jersey. The zip code is 07036. And I wanted to start our program off with bringing that information to our loyal listeners. And I know you will join me in helping not only provide some spiritual support to Imam Alfred with our prayers, but also financial support to help him in this fight. Okay. Now, to participate in the program, and there are a number of ways to participate. Of course, you can dial in. There's someone on the line now, but our call-in number for those who are just interested in joining us is 805-727-7013. That's 805-727-7013. And you can call in and you can listen to the show, or if you are interested in asking a question and joining in the conversation, just hit the number 1 on your radio, on your telephone, and you'll be placed in the call queue, and I'll respond to your call just as soon as I see it pop up on the queue here. All right. But you can also participate by posting a message on my Facebook page if you like. You can get to my Facebook page by just going to Abdul Rashid Akbar on Facebook. Just type my name in there, and you can get to my Facebook page and posting information at the hashtag Religion Means Alive if you're on Facebook. Or you can send me a tweet. My Twitter handle is at Akbar1. That's at AKBARONE, Akbar1. I have my Twitter page up, and I'm watching the tweets as they come in. And if there's something that you would like to send me a tweet on, and if you'd like me to mention that tweet on the air, simply indicate that in your tweet. I'll be more than happy to do so and share it with our online audience. Okay, with that, I'm going to now, I've pulled together the way I want to communicate with you regarding the show in three segments. The first segment, we're dedicated to business. The second segment, be highlighting technology and some information I'd like to bring to you regarding technology, particularly how it impacts on business and particularly African-American business. And then the final segment, I will update you on the issues and some of the going-ons, happenings with the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad and some of the work that's being done. There's a lot going on regarding the mosque cares and the work there. And I'll be bringing that to you in our third segment. And I just got a commitment today, right before I came on air, that I'll be hopefully be joined by one of the hardworking members and supporters of the mosque cares. I was unable to connect with him and get him on my last show, Brother Ghalib Ghulam, but that'll be in the final half an hour of the show. As you see, we've changed the timing of our show. The show starts now. The show started at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so as I hope that we'll be able to connect with more of our audience, and there will be some other changes to the show that will be coming down, all in the interest of being a better, being helping you become better informed, being helping you navigate and understand what's going on in the world with business, technology, and as you know, Alfred, as when he pulled together this show, the central purpose is to help educate and inform not just African Americans, but all that happen to tune into the show and see the value that the show can have for them. Okay, so let's begin now with our business segment. And I'm going to be pulling some information now from Black Enterprises magazine. I subscribe to Black Enterprises, and I encourage any of those on our show to look at this magazine as an essential tool to provide information for African Americans regarding business, technology, and other areas, but primarily business, that they cover. Particularly what I want to talk about here is the real challenges of getting capital in a business. Whether you're a startup business or you're an ongoing concern, particularly for African-American businesses, one of the challenges is getting capital. Well, that means getting funding, either to get your business off the ground or take your business to the next level. And I'm going to share with you in this first part of the program some of the articles, some of the information that's available here that has been covered here in Black Enterprises magazine, and share this with you. And it's my hope that it will help you in your search for capital for your business, and hopefully it will be something that will be helpful to you in terms of taking your business to that next level. One of the articles that they cover here, and this comes from the September 2014 issue of Black Enterprises magazine, and they highlight here PayPal, and here this really talking about funding for those who have or who are what they refer to as online retailers. And just to inform you and make you aware, I happen to be an online enterprise. I have a retail establishment, an online store. The address is, I've spoken to you on a number of occasions about it, but let me just mention it again now. It's akbarsonestop.com. And I handle general merchandise. Primarily right now up on my site is a new and slightly or pre-owned clothing for women. And I get the clothing from various areas, various sources. But I launched that business, online business, probably now about 3 years ago. And so just simply wanted to make you aware of that. But now let me return to the article now. This is in the small biz subsection of the magazine. And the title of the article is Funding for Online Retailers, Small Business Loans Available from PayPal and Other Merchant Services. And so now, let me quote from the article. Access to capital continues to be a challenge for many startups, micro enterprises, and small businesses. Getting a loan is especially difficult for entrepreneurs who sell products through online storefronts, such as myself. Responding to the lending void faced by many of the merchants who use its payment system, PayPal.com has launched a loan program called PayPal Working Capital. Period. Let me stop there, and I'll get back to the article in a minute. And let me simply say that I'm one retailer who uses PayPal to clear payments on my website. And so that's just in the interest of full disclosure. And so many online retailers, like myself, use PayPal to process their payments online. Okay, now let me return to the article. Since its launch last September, more than 20,000 U.S. businesses have collectively borrowed more than $150 million in PayPal Working Capital business loans through lending partner WebBank, says Chris Morris, head of merchant communications for PayPal. Thousands of businesses have successfully applied for PayPal Working Capital, including a number of repeat customers. PayPal loans have proven to be beneficial to small business owners who have had trouble being approved for loans by traditional commercial banks. Because the program uses a business's total sales revenue and history using PayPal's payment system, there is no credit check or extensive documentation required. And this is really interesting, very important. And when this came to my attention, I said I knew that this would be something that I wanted to bring to the listeners to this program and to some of my other contacts that I share in terms of my business importance. Returning to the article now, and I quote, to be eligible, merchants must generate at least $20,000 in sales over a 12-month period on PayPal's payment system at the time they apply for a loan. PayPal also will inquire about the purpose of the loan. Not surprising, most PayPal loan borrowers use the funds for inventory and advertising, notes Morris. Borrowers can take out a loan amount that is up to 8% of their yearly revenue processed through PayPal, with loans limited to $60,000, up from $20,000 last year. To date, about 60% of those loans eBay sellers. And of course, you know now that eBay owns PayPal. They fill it out as a separate operation now, but still they are the largest owner and holder in PayPal. Now, returning to the article. PayPal is competing with other online services such as Kabbage.com, that's spelled Kabbage.com, which advances online merchants' money and even uses their PayPal or other online merchant histories, among other things, as part of its credit profiling and screening process. Another merchant payment platform, Square.com, of which it also works with, is offering cash advances to businesses in its network through Square Capital. Kabbage, Square, and the PayPal Working Capital Program are all meant to help online retailers grow their businesses. That funding is approved or not approved within minutes of applying through a simple online interface on their websites is what makes these services so appealing. Now, A downside to that minute. Let me say this again. A downside is that merchants who don't use PayPal have no chance of getting one of its loans. PayPal loans are unique in that borrowers are allowed to pay back the loans based on a percentage, typically 10 to 30% of daily sale receipts. On the days that the business does not have sales, the business owner doesn't have to repay the loan. The loan charges a simple flat fee for the daily deduction amount chosen by the merchant. No interest is charged. Says Morse, merchants can leverage credit as a tool to secure capital and grow their businesses. So, just wanted to make this information available to the listeners here. If you happen to be in a business that you have and you have need of capital, if you're thinking about launching a business and trying to see, okay, where can you obtain capital for your business, or if you want to take your business and you want to grow it, you need capital to take your business to the next level. Here are three sources of revenue that you can possibly tap to help you get the capital you need. And PayPal Working Capital is one, along with Cabbage.com and Square.com. So in this same article here on the page, there are some other funding tips that may be of interest to you. And let me just mention those. This is in Carolyn M. Brown's Tip of the Month article, Funding Sources. As she says here, just 1% of seed and early stage funding nationally has gone to black founders. But the landscape is changing, with more investors starting to take notice of minority-owned startups. Here are some sources of capital seekers. She has the Catalyst Fund. The Catalyst Fund, which can be, which you can go to www.cvcatalyst.com. That fund is a $20 million fund that invests in early stage technology startups led by minority investors. And then the second one she lists here is Impact America Fund. To get to them, it's www.impactamerica, so a T America, so Impact America, F-U-N-D, fund.com. It was formerly the Jalea Ventures, and it's an early stage equity fund that invests in companies that create jobs and improve the well-being of underserved communities. Then there's the Minority Angel Investor Network, and you can get to them through their website at www.minorityangelinvestornetwork.com. And they represent investors who target high-growth, minority-owned, or minority-led companies. And then the last, number four highlight she has here is Venture Capital Access Program. And to get to them, you go to www.marathonfdn.org. And they are a venture between Harvard Business School Alumni Angels of Greater New York and the National Association of Investment Companies, and they provide access to capital for women and diverse entrepreneurs. Okay, so I wanted to bring that to the attention of our listeners, and I hope that this has been some helpful information to those of you who already are operating a business, for those of you who are will be interested in starting your business and need some sources of funding. to take that business to the next level. Now, I want to stay with business in this segment, and I want to stay with funding. There are some other sources of funding for businesses, and one of the big online, and this is probably somewhat a recent program, but it has been very, very helpful for individuals who are looking to raise funding for their business, and that's Kickstarter. Now, Kickstarter online, and you go to Kickstarter.com, and you can get, that's how you get to their website and get information about Kickstarter. But it's a totally online resource for getting funding for your business. I want to bring the information about Kickstarter. I've used Kickstarter not to raise funds for my particular business, but I've used Kickstarter to make donations to another entity. And at that time, it was Spike Lee. Spike Lee was raising money to launch a new movie that he was doing. And he went to Kickstarter and put his information up on Kickstarter and looked for people to make donations, and I was one who did. So very easy to use. But I want to call your attention to another young man who's used it and turned out to be a great deal more. It worked for him even more than he ever thought it would. This comes from the Black Enterprise magazine, the issue, the July-August 2014 issue. And they did a focus on Kickstarter, which is a part of a funding that's called crowdfunding. Kickstarter being one, and there are others out there, but Kickstarter is one of the biggest. And these are people who come together and who will invest. Can be a small amount of money, but as you know, when a lot of people invest even a small amount of money, it can raise a lot of money, and it has been very helpful. Well, this was LeVar Burton. Kickstarter campaign raises $1 million in less than 12 hours. Now, that's the subtitle of this article. For those who may not remember LeVar Burton, but LeVar Burton was one of the hosts of The Reading Rainbow. It used to come on some of the public TV stations. I know we saw it here in Chicago area, WTTW, a public radio, a public TV station. And the way I had young people who grew up on and watched The Reading Rainbow. Well, LeVar Burton thought about, it was very informative. And what he wanted to do was recapture that that magic. And so he started a Kickstarter program. And he titled the Kickstarter program, Bring Reading Rainbow Back for Every Child Everywhere. And he launched that on Kickstarter. And let me just give you some idea as the article starts out here in the subtitle. He raised $1 million in less than 12 hours. And so let me just read the beginning of the article. Again, if you want to get the full article, it's in the July-August edition of Black Enterprises Magazine. July-August 2014. The launch of Kickstarter 5 years ago, crowdfunding has exploded as an option for funding small business dreams. But even with all the buzz surrounding the concept, when a fixture of our childhoods recently raised $4 million in just 30 days, we all sat up and took notice. That's the start of the article. I want to read a little bit more of the article again remind our radio audience that this is another way to raise money for the for your enterprise. Now, returning to the article, on May 28th, actor LeVar Burton set social media and the web into a frenzy when news broke that he had launched a Kickstarter campaign to help revive the once popular kids' learning show, Reading Rainbow. In just 24 hours, Burton and his team exceeded their initial goal of raising $1 million. And that was the goal, and the way Kickstarter works, you set a goal, and you don't receive any money until you have reached the goal. If you don't reach the goal, then you don't receive any of the funds. For those people who want to support a Kickstarter program, they pledge a certain amount of money, and they use their credit card to charge the money too. But their card is not charged until the campaign secures its goal. That means if the campaign does not secure the goal, no person has to pay anything. No credit cards are charged. But if the campaign reaches the goal, then the credit card is charged of the person who pledged whatever they pledge, and the money goes to the entity who put up the campaign. That's a fee for Kickstarter in terms of their providing the administrative support for it. And usually a gift, some kind of gift, is given or pledged by the originator of the campaign that they pledge to give to each investor or actually a donor, each donor that donates to the campaign. So now let me continue. Let me continue with the article. By the end of the campaign on July 2nd, more than $5.4 million had been raised, not including the million-dollar match from entertainer Seth MacFarlane. We were pretty confident we could meet our goal in the 35 days of the campaign, but we have all been just floored, overwhelmed, and rocked by the manner in which this has happened. Getting the $1 million in 11 hours was really unexpected, Burton says. The money raised on Kickstarter will go towards bringing the former public television show more fully into the digital age. 3% of the market has access to a tablet like an iPod or Kindle Fire, and those are the only two devices we're on right now, Burton says. With the first million, we are able to get to more platforms like mobile. But the main thrust is to design web-based products for both home and family use, and specifically for classrooms. That first million gave us the opportunity to offer the product to schools for free to 1.5 or 1,500 underfunded classrooms. After blowing past the original goal, Burton set a stretch goal. $5 million goal will get us on Android and mobile, in addition to set-top boxes, Roku, Xbox, and more. We'll be able to give away the Reading Rainbow app to an additional 6,000 underfunded classrooms for a total of 75 in the classrooms. Now, I just wanted to bring that information to you, that much of it. I encourage you to go to and pick up the July-August edition of Black Enterprises Magazine and to get the full article, or go to their website, blackenterprises.com, and you'll be able to get this article from their website and read the entire article. It's fantastic. But I don't want to lose sight of this crowdfunding source here, Kickstarter. While you're there, I encourage you to learn more about Kickstarter and how you, as a business person who are in business, or one who may be interested in getting into business, how you can make and take advantage of this as an opportunity for you to raise more revenue for your business, or to take your business again back to that next level. You can get to them by going to Kickstarter.com. Right. So that's the next segment that I wanted to share with our listeners on raising funds for your business. The last item I'd like to bring to you regarding this subject is a very new source of funding that businesses have looked at, and it is listed under the title peer-to-peer funding. And just as its name says, it is funding where other individuals or investors or people who are in business lend to fellow businesses. This information also comes from one of the issues of Black Enterprises Magazine. This one comes from the May issue, the May 2014 issue of Black Enterprises Magazine, in the small business segment. And the title is laid out as, "Is Peer-to-Peer Lending Flowing Non-Traditional Sources of Funding Your Business?" And as the article says, this is a different way, a non-traditional funding way, but a different way maybe getting funding for your business. And so let me just quote a little bit from the article here. It's a short article by Alan Hughes, and I quote, "Access to capital remains one of the most challenging hurdles for African-American entrepreneurs. Bank loans have for years been a challenge to obtain and have become all but impossible following the credit crisis of a few years ago. Many entrepreneurs now seek alternative financing, private equity, crowdfunding, and other non-traditional sources." And, of course, it was like crowdfunding, Kickstarter was one of those. And I'm glad I talked about Kickstarter even before I talked about this. Lending Club, the largest peer-to-peer lender in the U.S., recently launched a new business loan platform. Peer lending, peers provide typically unsecured loans by way of online lending platforms using various credit checking tools. Lenders offset the risk by choosing which borrowers they want to lend to, and by diversifying their investments among different borrowers. Lending Club's small business loans range from $15,000 to $100,000, with fixed interest rates starting at 5.9%, and terms ranging from 1 to 5 years. With Lending Club, already the largest peer-to-peer consumer lending platform, why the move to include small businesses? We have pretty ambitious goals, says Lending Club CEO Renault Lefkich. Now let me spell his name. First name is R-E-N-A-U-D. Last name is L-A-P-F-A-N-C-H-E. We want to transform the banking system into a marketplace that is more competitive, more customer-friendly, and more transparent. We're only going to be more relevant to more people if we address more use cases and expand the population we are addressing. U.S. small businesses are an engine of job creation and economic growth, but their access to capital has been constrained. And unquote. I'll stop there. Not just their access to capital in terms of small business, but particularly for African Americans in the small business. So, if you want to get more information on this article, I encourage you to either get the May issue of Black Enterprises Magazine, May 2020 issue of Black Enterprises Magazine, or again, go to their website, search for this particular issue, and see if you can get the information from their website. Or Black Enterprises, you know, they sell, of course, issues of the magazine, and this will be an opportunity for you to contact them. I see we have a call, so let me take the call. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, this is Imam Alfred. Religion means a lot. Brother, I just want to thank you for the great work you're doing and to tell everybody that they're really privileged and honored to have our own mosque care business advisor every second Tuesday, Monday, and we might just steal him. You know, we will steal a talent. We know we think of. We may try to get him on again on regular rotation on a weekly basis, but I don't know what the madam will allow him to do that, but we certainly going to put our petition in. I learned in sales, if you don't ask, you won't get. If you don't tell it, you won't sell it. So we are honored that the brother's working with us, and we appreciate him, and we appreciate him and salute him. I also wanted to let the audience know that on November the 15th, this Saturday, Dionne Warwick, the one and only Dionne Warwick, will be our guest on Religion Means a Lot. We may change it and shorten it and call it RMA, because we want people to know we are user-friendly. We want anybody in the world to listen to us. We particularly are interested in this 41 million persons that came out of slavery, the African-Americans, and then our next part of our audience is all the African people that brought you to the Western business sphere, and then we go on from there. So we thank you. Thank you, brother, for your wonderful work you're doing. Thank your wonderful family for sharing you with us. And we, again, look forward to seeing you again the second Monday or before on our MA.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, brother, man. Thank you for calling in. And it's my pleasure. It's really my pleasure to be a part of your program here, Religion Means Alive, as a guest host. And if I can work it in, I will be more than happy to maybe come on on a more frequent basis, as long as I can work into my schedule, because I do want to support this fantastic program. And then all your
as one Chicago host used to say, I guess, I forget his name, Russ Meeks, I believe, he said, all up in here. So we want you to be all up in here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, brother, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Right. Well, that was a brother, Imam Alfred Muhammad. Of course, you know he is the host, the originator of Religion Means a Lie. I just happen to have the pleasure of being a guest host every second Monday of the month, but I am pleased for blessing me to be able to be here and to guest host on this fantastic program. Let me try to wrap up here now with the business segment of the program, and simply say that I'd encourage our listeners to look at this peer-to-peer lending to see if it's something that can be of help to you in terms of your business. Is this something that you could see as a way to either get your business off the ground or move it forward? From what it seems and from what amount of money they're looking at and how they look like they run to check your credit rating and things like that to see if it would be something that would be of interest to you. Not sure if you're just starting out in your business, if you can look at this as a way to get along, but who knows? And the key thing is to just look at this as another opportunity to get capital for your business. So I wanted to bring those three parts of my business segment to you in terms of getting capital for your business. Kickstarter being one, which is a part of crowdfunding. Then, of course, PayPal, who are offering loans. And of course, you have to have an online business or have to be a PayPal customer to apply. And then, of course, now peer-to-peer lending. All these, you can get more information, get those respective Black Enterprise magazines that I've spoke to you about, and get the information from them. Now I want to go to the second segment that I want to bring to you on this evening. This segment is on technology. You know, in business, you can be challenging your business, but to be successful in business, of course, you've got to have the funding. So you've got to have the capital. But in this day and time, you also have to be comfortable with technology and social media. It's almost impossible to be successful business person, particularly a startup, without having a background or employing someone with a background in social media, and then using the power of technology. But just as it's important to have those and to have someone and to be familiar with technology, and to use it in your business, there are also some challenges with the use of technology. And that's for those who want to misuse it or want to take advantage of it, and in some ways take advantage of you. So in this technology segment, what I wanted to share with you are two articles, information. One particularly that deals with keeping your data safe. Keeping your data safe. You notice in the news, it's almost impossible if you've had any newspapers you looked at or if you had just listened to the radio and TV reports, the hacking that has gone on of different websites. Even large retailers like Home Depot, large bank, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and you know if they can hack into J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, they can have small enterprises if you're not really careful. And some would ask, well, why hack and try to get into J.P. Morgan Chase? Well, as they say, those who try to rip or steal, they go where the money is. And that's what they are doing, that they won't make you a victim if you're not careful. So I wanted to bring two two articles or two sources of information to you today regarding regarding business, keeping your data safe if you do it in business. One, I want to, again, use as my source, Black Enterprises Magazine. And this is from the September 2014 edition. And this now is particularly for those people who may travel for business and they are and maybe in the habit of using those business centers at the various hotels. I'm one who travels for business. I'm just fortunate that I usually carry all my business tools with me when I travel. And because I have several mobile businesses on the Internet, I carry my mobile business tools with me, and I try to carry all that I need to try to keep my data as safe as possible. But there are some who, when they're traveling, they use those business centers at these various hotels. And here's where I want to bring this information to your attention. This is in the money section of the September 2014 edition of Black Enterprises Magazine. And this is a tip by the young lady, Shariza Ingles, I guess that's what it is. Her last name is spelled N-G-O apostrophe S. And she has here in her tip of the month, use caution at hotel business centers. And it's a small, short article. Let me read it to you. If you travel a lot, you might occasionally make use of the facilities at a hotel business center. However, the blog, and it's RBS, on security, sounded the alarm about a potential security threat. Hotels in Texas were alerted about recent data breaches affecting hotel business centers in areas including Dallas and Fort Worth. More than 10,000 customers were affected. Fraudsters in some of these centers have been installing keyloggers, or keylogger malware as a means of stealing personal and financial data. Your best bet is to use public computers only for conducting basic web searches. Don't do your banking or any other activity that could expose your personal financial information. TRBS on security suggests that if you are traveling and need to print a document from your email account, create a free disposable email address at yopmail.com or 10minutemail.com and use your mobile device to forward the email or file to that address. You can then access the address from the public computer. Even better, carry your
phone. Carlos, I don't want to answer the phone.
Even better, you can carry your own laptop. Even better, carry your own laptop. But make sure the Wi-Fi is legitimate. Now, and that's the end of the quote of the article. Let me share with you what I do. And this advice may be a comfort to you. As I say, I travel quite a bit, but I take my tools with me. I always have my laptop. I have two cell phones. I have a personal cell phone, then I have a business cell phone. And I always tether my laptop to my cell phone with my personal hotspot. I never use their hotspot or their email, even though it may be internet access, even though it may be free. I don't use it because it's public and it's open to others who can see what you're doing or a chance that you see what you're doing. And I don't use the business centers at all. I take let's say, and I take a small personal printer with me when I travel. And I travel light, but I take these tools with me because the nature of my business is mobile, and I know I've got access to internet. And so I make sure to have a closed-in access point. So I would encourage those of you who, like me, travel, and you have to use your laptop or whatever, check your service provider for your cell phone. Most service providers now, I know T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon, with your services now, they provide you with a personal hotspot via your cell phone. And it's free. It's just, when I say free, it's just a part of your data plan that you're using when you use this. And but this will be a way where you can greatly reduce the opportunity for those to hack into your information and try to steal the data and your information. And, of course, with a personal laptop, small laptop, I would encourage you to carry that with you when you're traveling and taking care of, and you have an opportunity to take care of business. But as the article points out here, I would absolutely encourage you not to use those business centers to take care of your personal, your professional business. You know, that is to go to your banking and other information like that, so that you don't open yourself up to being hacked. All right. So that's one piece of information I wanted to bring to you, and that is an article here in the September 2014 issue of Black Enterprises Magazine. Also, now, we know we're coming up on the holiday season. This is a shopping anytime can be an opportunity for thieves out there. But the holiday season is even more of an opportunity for people to try to make you a victim, a potential victim. And what you want to make certain that you want to do is to try to not make yourself a victim or be less of a victim. So I want to share some information with you regarding how to reduce the opportunity to become a victim of fraud during this holiday season. Now, this information comes from the Money Advisor that is published by Consumer Reports. And I'm looking here at the November 2014 edition of this Money Advisor. This is the section that is called Money Tips. And the subtitle of this article here is Don't Become a Holiday Shopping Victim. So let me quote from this and share with you information here. You may not get a chance to see it and get the article, so I'm going to make this available to you so that you, like me, can protect yourself as much as possible. All right. So here, Harry Shopper, our easy target of con artists, thieves, and others. Take steps to protect yourself and your wallet. Okay, so here we go with the let me go with these sub titles here or bullets. Shield yourself from fraud. A credit card with an embedded chip makes it harder for someone to steal your card data when you shop in a store. If you don't have one, ask your card issuer whether you can update your card. Now, let me just stop right here and just say to you that one of my card issuers have sent me a card. One of my card issuers has sent me a card now that's embedded with this chip. And, of course, this all with the express purpose of trying to eliminate them from being able to hack into that card. So I just want to make you aware of that. They are starting to, of course, this is an expense for the card issuers, but there are many who may be open to doing this for you. So I would encourage you to look at that as a possibility and asking your card issuer to if they will update your card with that chip. All right, let me return to the article now. Use an electronic wallet. An app often loaded onto a phone from Apple, Google, Loop, or SoftCard. All encrypt sensitive data and require a PIN. That makes it harder for a thief to access the data, even if you lose your phone. For shopping online, ask your bank for a virtual credit card number, if available. It links to your actual credit card, but expires after you have set your account. Now, electronic wallet. I hope most of you are now familiar with electronic wallets. Google has one. In fact, Apple has just introduced one. This lady here is called Apple Pay. And so when they rolled out the iPhone 6, and they also rolled out this new payment system called Apple Pay. And I simply want to tell you that this is something that may be of interest to you. I will be upgrading to the iPhone 6 this weekend. And I am an Apple person, as you say, in the interest of full disclosure. I'm an Apple person, have used Apple products, but particularly the iPhone and the iPad. I have used them ever since the addition of the iPhone 3. That was my first phone. And when they first came out the iPad, I've been using the iPad. And so I am an Apple person in that respect. I have Apple TV, and I have all the Apple products. I use them all except the Mac. I'm still a Windows person when it comes to the computer, but I use the other products. And this electronic wallet is another way that you can help limit or decrease the opportunity for people to hack and make you a victim, particularly this time during this shopping season. Okay, now, let me return to the article. This second bullet, safeguard personal information. If you shop online, don't use a public Wi-Fi network. It may not be secure. Before buying or downloading a shopping app, understand how your information is shared. And if the site is unfamiliar, consider checking out as a guest, if possible. Now, this is extremely important. And me being an online retailer, one of the reasons why is one of the principal reasons why I use PayPal for people to purchase on my site. If you are not familiar with that site, as they say, if you're going to shop online, and if it's not a really big secure retailer like an Amazon or another big retailer, you may not want to put all your personal or credit card information on that site. You may want to be careful about what information you share on the site. And then downloading a shopping app to your, as I spoke earlier about smartphones, and they become a part of our everyday lives, and there are many people who shop with certain apps. I have Amazon on my phone, and so I shop with Amazon a lot. But just make sure the app is reputable, and also know how they share and use your information. And who they're going to make your information available to. Make sure you have been familiar with that. Make sure that you're not worried about them or concerned about them misusing your information and sharing it with someone that you may not want them to share your information with. So, and as I said, even before I read in this, try not to use a public Wi-Fi network to. So when I say public Wi-Fi, I do a lot of my business. You'd be surprised. I do a lot of my business in Starbucks. I love to do a business in. I like the atmosphere. I always think back when I first became interested in Starbucks, and I'm somewhat of an investor. I should have probably bought some stock in Starbucks some time ago, but anyway, I love the environment where you go in, you can sit down, you can talk business, you can conduct business, and of course, they do have free Wi-Fi, but I don't use their Wi-Fi. Now, and I would encourage all of those listeners here, if you're taking care of business, you're going to take care of really your personal information, like your banking business, things like that. Don't use public Wi-Fi. At Starbucks, public library, anywhere that has public Wi-Fi, don't use it to take care of your personal banking and other sensitive data uses. Use a closed system. And as I say, in this day and time, most cell phone providers, most providers now will give you right within your phone, you have what they call a personal hotspot. And I encourage you to, if you're not familiar with it, check with your provider. And if you don't know how to use it, have just go into your provider and have them to show you how to use your personal hotspot and how to connect it to your computer or your tablet where you can take care of business and you can, it can be in a much more secure setup. Okay? Okay. Now, this the final bullet in this article. Don't invite unwanted marketing. Walk-in stores sometimes ask for a phone number or an email address. Don't supply it. When shopping online, look for checkboxes, sometimes pre-checked, to have you agreeing to receive email marketing. And if they're pre-checked, then just uncheck them. And you know, I've gone into stores you can get to the counter and they say, well, you know, you're checking out, and they say, well, would you like to receive some information? May we have your email address? And I say, no, that's okay. I prefer not to because I get plenty of email as it is. So, if at all possible, if it's something that you really are interested in, then I would encourage you to do that, which I do. I have several email addresses, and I have one that is just for business. And that, if I'm going to give out one, that's the one I give out, the one just for business. Because then I know that I check that for my business purposes, and I don't have to have that intruding on my personal email and also intruding on my time. Okay. So, now, also, when you're using your cards, here's something else that you need to watch out for, particularly when using ATM machines. This is still under the whole issue of keeping yourself safe. Here on the same page, these are some of the scams. They say watch out for trickier schemers. And let me read this little small article here. More thieves are using barely detectable, ultra-thin skimmers. And these are things that they connect to the ATM machines. Reports the website KREBS on security. So I guess it's Krebs on security. That's the website. The devices can steal the data on your card's magnetic strip and use them to fabricate phony cards. To protect yourself, stick to ATMs and banks in highly trafficked areas. Cover the keypad when you enter your PIN. And check bank statements and reports for any unauthorized withdrawals. So this is just some tips that I want to bring to you on this segment in terms of trying to help you keep yourself safe when you're using your technology. Because in today's marketplace, unfortunately, there are just those who want to who just want to misuse you or make you a victim. And our concern is to keep ourselves safe. And I want to share that with the listeners here on Religion Means Alive. Now, I'd like to proceed now to the third segment of the program. And in this segment, I want to bring you updates. Updates from the Mosques, the Ministry of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And I want to bring you some other information. And then in about 5 minutes' time, I'm going to be calling our brother, Galeed Galab, because I told him I would call him about 15 minutes, 7:15, my time, to which will be the last segment, and so give him about a minute. I'll give him a call, we'll share information. I'd like to share information that he would like to bring you regarding the mosque cares. But while I have this time, let me simply state that the Mosque Cares now, the first Sunday program, for those of you who are not familiar with the Mosque Cares, let me just simply say what the Mosque Cares is. The Mosque Cares, which is the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, is a 501c3 international Islamic charity, and it supports all types of causes for the betterment of our human condition. If you want to know more about the Mosque Cares, you can simply go to their website. Just go on the internet. You can go to any search engine, Google or any search engine, and just type in the Mosque Cares. And you'll see in the listings that will come up, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Click on the link. It will take you to their website. Or if you're interested, you can download their app. They have an app for both Android and Apple devices. For those of you who have Apple devices like me, all you need to do is go to the App Store and tap into the search engine, The Mosque Cares. And you will see, and you can download the app. The app is free. For Google, you just go to the Google Play Store, and you do the same. Type in the search engine, the search box, The Mosque Cares, and the information will come up there where you can download the application. And there you can take information about the Mosque Cares, and you can consult it anytime that is of interest to you. Now, the first Sunday program, the first Sunday of every month, the Mosque Cares has a program. And the program has actually four components to it. There's an instructor who instructs on the Arabic language, and the person who's doing that now happens to be Imam Ajin Muhammad. He instructs on the Arabic language. Yours truly, I teach a business class, and my focus there is dealing with business and technology. But what I try to do is to bring information to people who, again, who have either just started their businesses or want to take their business to the next level, and how to leverage technology and social media to help in that regard. So I teach a business class. And then there's always a special guest speaker for the first Sunday. And the Mosque Cares will be putting the information up who the first Sunday speaker. I don't have it right now, but while I have you online, I'm going to dial out, see if I can get our brother, leave the lab to come on. But while we're talking to him, I'm going to go out and check to see if the Mosque Cares has put up who their first Sunday speaker is going to be, because if it is who I think it's going to be, I want to make that information known to all of you here on the Religion Means Alive radio broadcast now. But why don't I now go and see if I can connect with our brother Galib Galab. So as I continue to talk with you here, I'm going to see if I can find the area in the studio board here where I can make the call and see if I can bring our brother on. Let's see. I'm still looking here. While I'm looking, let me continue to talk about the Mosque Cares and their first Sunday programming. That programming now is going to be live streamed. That means that anyone who has a laptop, a desktop, or a smartphone or computer connected to the internet can now look at the look and hear, if they like, the broadcast of the first Sunday programming in real time, and encourage you to go to the Mosque Cares website. If you go to their website and look for this first Sunday programming, you will see on their site where they have a link for the being to be able to go and to live stream their programming. This will be a fantastic opportunity to both see and hear the broadcast live from the international headquarters of the Mosque Cares, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I'm looking here, but I don't see the link that I'm looking for here on our board where I can make the call for the for our brother here. So let me see if I can arrange to have him give me a call and to be able to provide some updates for some of the special programming that he's involved in here at the Mosque Cares. Well, while I continue to look at that, let me also simply state that the Mosque Cares has now confirmed the dates for the Mosque Cares annual convention for 2015. And this is the earliest that I know of that the Mosque Cares has been able to lock in the dates. And this is a blessing. It's a real blessing because here it gives them an opportunity now to start promoting the convention. And not only that, to help those of you who are interested start preparing for the convention. All right, so let me simply state that the convention will be September 4th through the 6th, 2015. That will be the date. So it's always Labor Day weekend. So that Labor Day weekend will be the dates of the Mosque Cares annual Muslim convention. And we certainly encourage all of those of you who have an interest and a plan to attend, we certainly encourage you to do so.
Chili or the chicken.
It's an annual coming together. It's an annual coming together of individuals from across the country who are in support of the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, who have been a supporter of his ministry, and who supported his father's ministry. This is an opportunity for us to come together at one time from all across the country and other parts of the world. As I said, this is an international organization, the Mosque Cares. So there are brothers who come from across the world, other parts of the world, who come to be with us as guests at the convention. And so we encourage you, those of you who are interested, to start preparing so that you can be a part of this historical event. So the annual Muslim convention will be September 4th through the 6th, 2015. And it will take place here, again, in the city of, right in a suburb of Chicago. It's been we have been treated very well at the Tinley Park Convention Center. And so it will be again at the Tinley Park Convention Center here, right here, just a suburb, right outside Chicago, Illinois here. And so we encourage you to make your plans to attend. But also, the annual Savior's Day program will also be here in Chicago in February. It will take place here at the Midway Marriott Hotel, as it was where it was last year. February, I'll get the dates for you in just a second here. But Savior's Day, and it's here. These are what we refer to as the annual events. These annual events are events that have been started by Imam Muhammad, and now they're being continued by his son, Wahdatuddin Muhammad II. And I think it's very important to note that he has continued the work of his father as the president of the Mosque Cares. Savior's Day will be here in Chicago. February, I'll get you the exact date before I leave here, because they've already sent out a Save the Date program. So just give me a second as I update you on some other programs here for the Mosque Cares, and I'll get you that date. One of the latest programs that the Mosque Care has launched is what they refer to as the New Africa Marketplace Weekends. New Africa Marketplace Weekends. And what this is an opportunity for people, individuals, to come together at the Mosque Care's headquarters, international headquarters, and come together around cultural activities, educational activities, and then vendors to come together and to have a vend for that weekend. It had been has always been a program of the Mosque Care to continue the successful work that of the ministry that always has been a focus, and that work has been bringing the community together around issues community support and promoting the work of the individuals in our community and also of supporting the businesses in our community. And so with the New Africa Business, or New Africa Business Weekend, that's what I meant to say, with the New Africa Business Weekend, this is a combination of classes and the businesses coming together here at the Mosque Cares and using those facilities for that purpose. So, first weekend of the month, classes that have already been set up and are going to be going on, there's a music class that's been offered by Sister Camilla Furcon. She's a music teacher, and she's teaching piano keyboarding, or they're teaching just how to use the piano. And she will be teaching these classes every first Saturday of the month. And in addition to her class, our own sister, Dr. Lynn Muhammad, she's an educator here in Chicago. And she's a science class. And she'll be tuning in once a month during the New Africa Business Weekend program. That's the first Saturday of each month. And those are the two classes that have been set up. Preferably, they're both designed for children, young people. And we would encourage those listeners who are in our audience who know people who are in this area, or for those who have and maybe are just traveling to Chicago for one of those weekends, that first weekend of the month, we welcome you to come into Chicago and take a part of that weekend. Come in on a Friday and do my prayer if you can. Stay for the Saturday for the New Africa Business Weekend programming that Saturday. Either come in as a vendor or shop when the vendors who are going to be here. And then stay for our first Sunday program. I've just checked their website. They don't have the new guest speaker who's going to be up for the first Sunday in December as yet. But I hope to be able to call in to the program and make that information available to the listeners here on the Religion Means Alive to the programming pretty soon. With that, I look at our time, and my goodness, doesn't time fly when you're having fun, as they say. Simply want to say that I've really enjoyed being the host here, the guest host here on Religion Means Alive. I thank all of you for joining me for this second Monday of the month, and I look forward to sharing with you again very soon here on this dynamic program set up by our beloved brother, Imam Alfred Muhammad. So, I'd like to leave you all with the greetings of peace, the greetings of all the prophets from Adam the first to Muhammad the last, translated from the Arabic language says, peace be unto you, but I like to say it to you in Arabic. Assalamu alaikum. And until we talk again, may the Creator's peace be with each and every one of you. Thank you.